Well, good morning and welcome to Pastor to Pastor. I'm Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I also am a pastor, so it's great to have you on Pastor to Pastor Day. And today I have a special guest who is really close to home with me because he's been my father-in-law for over 30 years, and he's also a pastor in Colville, Washington. So Pastor Tom, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Brian. It's a blessing to be on here with you.
Hey, now, I know a lot of these answers to these questions because we've been friends for a long time, but let's start out. How did you get involved in ministry? Tell us a little bit what's happening in Colville and just start us out that way.
Well, I got started in the ministry right after I was born again, back in 1972.
Yeah,
so I've been a Christian for a long time and started in ministry with children's ministry and just continued to serve the Lord in church and became an elder at a couple of different churches and a youth leader. And the Lord just took me on that journey and built on my experiences. And I grew in the Lord till finally I felt like the Lord was calling me to be a pastor. And that was over 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I started doing studying on being a pastor and preaching. And I started studying teachers like Spurgeon and others. And then God just started opening the doors and the opportunities to be a pastor. And we felt like there was a need in Colville for a church that was just going to teach the Bible, stay focused on God's word. I liked Calvary Chapel and its approach to teaching and preaching. So we looked into starting a Calvary Chapel and connected with the Calvary in Spokane. And God put us under a mentorship program. And I went through all the requirements to become a Calvary pastor and took about a year and a half of studying doctrine and doing a lot of reading, a lot of book reports and a lot of conferences. And so the Lord just kind of took me through that journey and we became a church back in 2001 or so. And we've been going ever since. So it's been a blessed journey from the Lord. That's for sure.
You know, we have a lot of younger pastors who listen to this program. And one of the things that encourages me about your testimony and how God brought you through is that you didn't wait till you got a paycheck to be a pastor to people. You really started that even before you were in vocational ministry. I know your story enough to know that whether you lived in Hawaii and you're reaching out to people or you lived in Bakersfield in California or up here, wherever it was from that day that you came to know Jesus Christ, you said, I'm here to minister and to tell people about Jesus. And that for our younger pastors, I think sometimes you're waiting for the paycheck. And I just would encourage you, start today, go to that coffee shop, sit down with someone, start mentoring and discipling those around you and grow in the word of God. So that's always impressed me about you, Pastor Tom. I've enjoyed that about you.
Thank you very much. I think that if you're really called to be a pastor, you're going to have a heart to serve in whatever capacity God opens a door for you. And the progression that you make will be exciting. You'll see fruit come out of your life. You'll see people coming up to you and they're being ministered to by your life and by your studies and by the word, the Holy Spirit helping you, and it'll just be a progressive type of thing. That's what happened with me when I first started pastoring. I had another job. In fact, I've had several other jobs. So for quite a while, I had two jobs: pastor and my occupation, my vocation. I was a contractor building houses. I also was an RN, working at the hospital for quite a few years. So I did two things, and then gradually the church grew to the point where it could support my needs financially, but it wasn't how it started out. In fact, I was surprised when people came up to me and they wanted to give us their tithe. I said, what? Give us the tithe? We're doing this because we love doing it and right, because we're serving God, and that's a reward in itself. But the bonus on top of it was people saw that we had financial needs. And so it was never, we never asked people for money, right, asked people for support. They always wanted to give it to us. So we said, sure, we'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you just provided.
Well, one of the things that's important is, you know, I know that when you were an RN or building houses, you didn't wait to Sundays to minister to people. You would start your building of a house in prayer. You know, at the hospital, it's a little bit different, but I'm sure for yourself, you prayed before you went in for the day. And I think that's important for us to hear from pastor to pastor. It's like, it's not about the paycheck. It's not about the prestige. It's not about all those things. It really is about being used by God to shape and form the public square. So what are some of the things that you're seeing in Colville and around our state that either is encouraging you or you have some concerns about?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of interesting because the darkness that we see in Washington State and in the world in general, to me, it seems like it's more of an opportunity to let your light shine. Mm-hmm. And so I don't see it so much as a negative, although I'm grieved over the wickedness and the injustice, the corruption that we see in our government, as well as in the culture. Mm-hmm. But I see it as an opportunity to be more Christ-like and to have more influence. And I'm very encouraged by the amount of other believers that have the same heart, the same grieving in their heart. And it seems like it's bringing us closer together in our stand that we're taking against the darkness. And so we encourage one another and build off of each other, which gives us boldness and courage to take that stand together and to address the issues and the challenges that we see in all ages, from the kids on up, with the public school system and what they're being exposed to, and seeing parents come together who are Christians, whose kids are involved in the public school, to take a stand together and encourage each other. So it seems to me it's making the church stronger, mm-hmm, and more committed and more dedicated. But I see a lot of churches that are going the opposite direction in compromising and becoming more, quote unquote, woke, and trying to be appealing to the culture and the society and whatever's popular, whatever's cool, whatever's hip, thinking that that's going to help them grow their church by being like the world. And they're going in the opposite direction of what they need to be doing. And God will bless those who take a stand on his word. And especially even concerning other subject, Israel, and where we're standing with Israel, supporting Israel, and not being compromising with the push for the anti-Semitic influences in our culture and society.
And, you know, I just recently
bless those who bless Israel.
That's exactly right. And I want to say two things about that. First, the Abrahamic covenant that God gave to Abraham has not been revoked by the church. It is still to Abraham and to the Jewish nation of Israel. And secondly, we see that the very fact that if he doesn't keep that promise with Abraham, he's not going to keep the promise to the church. And so we have a faithful God who will keep his promises both to Abraham and to the church. And as the time of Gentiles is fulfilled, we're going to see that there's going to be some interesting days ahead. I wanted to point out something about standing in the Word of God and on truth. I did some research recently through Pew Research, and in the state of Washington, we went from 61% Christian from Pew Research to 51% Christian in the last 7 years. But when you look at the Muslim perspective, we went from less than 1% in that same time frame to 3%. So a 300% increase in our Muslim declared citizens in the state of Washington. Thoughts on that? Thoughts on why we need to stand on the truth and this whole anti-Semitic push that's happening?
I think it goes back to depending on God blessing those that have blessed Israel. Mm-hmm. And when you take a stand for Israel, you come face to face with the Islamic push, which is increasing in our country, which is very concerning. But we don't want to compromise at all and back off from supporting Israel. And we want to continue to be on the side of exposing truth as far as the battle between Hamas and Israel, because there's a lot of deception. And I think there's a lot of people who aren't grounded in the Word of God that are open to that deception.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, Islam is a demonic religion. It is a murderous cult. and it needs to be addressed that way. There are a lot of Muslims that are not really fully understanding of Islam, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of Muslims that are very dedicated to pushing Islam. And for us as Christians, the more we speak the truth of who Jesus is, the Son of God, God himself, which really confronts Islam, then the Holy Spirit will use us, and we need the Holy Spirit to address the deception in Islam. But we don't want to back down from calling it what it is.
One of the things I love about Calvary Chapel in Colville is the very fact that you guys go through books of the Bible and preach the whole counsel of God's word. So it's not like you pick out a certain people group and say, hey, you know, we don't like you, or you want all people to come to repentance and to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and have a saving relationship with Jesus. And so you work through books of the Bible. If I was a younger preacher, why would I do that? I mean, wouldn't I just do topical and just kind of pick the things I want to pick? And what are the dangers of that?
Well, I think the admonition that we have is to preach the full counsel of God. And if you skip around, you're not going to be preaching the full counsel of God. I was influenced a lot by Pastor Chuck Smith and his journey and being a pastor and the things that he learned that worked and fulfilled the calling of a pastor. And that's one of the things he started off pretty quickly, is going from topical studies to teaching through the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that way you teach through the unpopular areas, the difficult areas, as well as the areas that are, you know, pretty easier to preach through. But you preach the whole Bible. So you preach the Old Testament and the New Testament, because I know a lot of the more modern focused churches, they'll just stay in the New Testament.
Yeah.
But the Old Testament is revealed to us in the New Testament. The foundation for the New Testament comes from the Old Testament. So you have to preach the whole message. And the Holy Spirit has given us the whole Bible, so we don't want to skip around.
Yeah, you know, you think about this, I think we are living in a day where people are incredibly ignorant of the Old Testament. Now, when I say the word ignorant, that's not a derogatory statement. I've been ignorant of lots of things. You know, if you were to ask me, fix your car, I'm ignorant. I don't know how to fix a car. So there's ignorance simply means stuff we don't know. And as pastors and shepherds, we need to make sure that they understand the foundation for the principles in the New Testament. Let me give an example. In Galatians, it says, God foreseeing that he would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Abraham, an Old Testament guy, he's the founder of the faith. He is the man who starts out by that faith. Righteousness comes through faith and before the law. And we see that foundation, if you don't understand Abraham, you're going to miss out components of what the gospel message is. Or if we go to Isaiah or Zephaniah or, you know, a lot of those old-time prophets especially, and or stories of the Old Testament, we really point us to the same Jesus that died on the cross for our sins and rose again that we may have eternal life. And so I know that you're going through the book of Ezekiel right now, aren't you? Tell us, how's that been? Has that been a joy? Has that been hard? What has that book been like?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at it to bring it up to date to current challenges for Christians, it's very relevant. Some people don't see how relevant it is, but when you apply it to principles that we have to live in or live with, it really is current for us. And so because the lessons that God taught Israel are lessons that we need to learn ourselves.
Right.
And the mistakes Israel made are mistakes that we make as well. Mm-hmm. We can fall from having an intimate, close walk with the Lord because allowing idols into our life. Idols not in the form of statues, but idols and things that take the place of God. And so, like last Sunday, we talked a lot about Israel depending on its riches, thinking that they were strong, they were powerful because they were rich and prosperous. But then God was teaching them through Ezekiel that all those riches are going to fail them. They're not going to support them and provide for them. And so they had to learn to depend on God, not on the idols, which is money. Sometimes money, which is riches, wealth, can become our idol without us even realizing how much we depend on it. So, I think it's very current for today. And it's not, I think the Holy Spirit really does help us to put application in there as we seek him for the current challenges that we have today. So it's been, I like it. I'm really getting a lot out of it. It does speak a lot of judgment. Mm-hmm. And there was serious judgment that God was warning Israel was coming upon them. But if they would listen to prophets like Jeremiah, as well as Ezekiel, they would take it to heart and they would change, but they would not repent. They continued with the hardness of their heart and their rebelliousness of their heart. And so God was put in the position that he had to judge them. And I think our country's in that same place today. I think we're right on the edge. If we as Christians don't stand up and influence our government, we will see them continue to go down this path of Antichrist spirit. Yeah. And I think our country is very close to experience the type of judgment that God brought on Israel in some form or another, especially right. open borders, invasion of paganism into our country, pagan influences in religions like mm-hmm. Islam is bringing us to the brink, as well as the immorality with the LGBTQ movement and the movement of Marxism, the Antichrist kind of influence in the government. It's really, we're experiencing a lot of it. So the Christians need to stand up and say enough. We're not going to go down that path, and we're going to represent Jesus Christ in the marketplace, in truth, in love, in yep. compassion, in grace and mercy. But we can't compromise the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to God.
Yeah, I know sometimes with the LGBTQ, we find our way to say, hey, that's a sin, and I want to talk to the Christians today. If you're a pastor there, and you're looking at pornography or in adultery or in fornication, you gotta repent and turn to the living God. Get some help. It's so important, because it's easy to look at someone else and say, hey, you're doing this, you're doing that. We also have to look at ourselves and say, where is my area of purity in my own heart, in my own life, and to walk in that purity in such a way that we bring honor and glory to God. Mm-hmm. I remember in the early 90s when I first started pastoring, there was a lot of workshops, you might say, on seeker sensitive, of making people feel comfortable, and political correctness. I don't know if they labeled it politically correct, but not offending was a lot of it. Don't offend. And the Bible is clear that if you preach the whole counsel of God's word, the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. And that is a good thing. And then what happened, what I saw, Pastor Tom, was it started with the church being politically correct, and it ended in the world being what we call woke, or really it's virtue signaling. It's not principally based on something with a foundation. It's just, you know, whatever we can do to make everyone feel good, and or that people know that I'm not a mean person, right? And mm-hmm. and that is not the gospel message. That is not the word of God. And I think as pastors, we need to bind together and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to preach the whole counsel of God's word. Amen. Thoughts on that?
Well, I know, I think in Galatians 1, Paul says, if I seek to please men, I will not be pleasing God. And I think pastors typically, most pastors they want to please people. They want to mm-hmm. serve them, please them, bless them. But we have to be careful of that, because we can compromise the truth. And actually, that brings harm to people, because you're not giving them the full counsel of God, so that they are urged to repent and take their thoughts captive to be obedient to Jesus Christ. And that's yeah. something I have to do on a daily basis. Is
Amen.
Because the enemy, Satan's after us. He wants to destroy us, and he is relentless. Mm-hmm. He never lets up. So we have to be always on guard for those temptations that he brings into our path. It's not a sin to be tempted, but it's a sin to dwell on that temptation and allow it to become a sin. So right. we have to take our thoughts captive to be obedient to Jesus Christ, especially in those areas of sexual impurity. Like you said, for men, yeah. we have a battle to take that under control. But if we don't do it, then we become open and more susceptible to falling, and then we will be not effective as pastors and we will compromise, and God's not going to bless us. We have to hold on to having that purity in our lives. So I totally agree with you on that.
Amen. You know, one of the things I've enjoyed about you, because I preach at Colville in Colville once a month on the second Sundays. And in fact, that's where I'm currently carrying my ordination papers just through under my father-in-law. What I appreciate is the focus is not how many butts we have in the seat. The focus is, have we been faithful to God? And the measuring stick is, hey, have I communicated God's word and people connect with that? How did you guys, I haven't been involved with Calvary Chapel as much, you know, because I was Assemblies of God pastor for a lot of years, a lot of decades. But is that something common in the Calvary Chapel, or is that something that you've created there in Colville?
Well, I think I've studied quite a bit about Pastor Chuck and his ministry, and I don't remember who he quoted from, but there was a pretty well-known writer, maybe it was Tozer, that said a prayer, Lord, save me from the tyranny of numbers. Hmm. And that's real. I've really taken that to heart, because if you focus on numbers, that is your gauge on your ministry, and you can become controlled by those numbers, and that takes you away from just the intimacy with the Holy Spirit and the flow of the Holy Spirit, and looking for the fruit in people's lives versus just looking at how many people are in the seats.
Right.
And so I don't count people. A lot of people say, how many people go to your church? And I say, I don't count them.
Yeah.
And that saved me, because there are people that like to count stuff, and people at our church count people. But I said, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I'm just happy with how many people are here, and I want to minister to them. And I think as a fruit of that, God does bring more people. It's his business how many people come to your church. He adds to the church daily such as should be saved. And so I know the enemy tries to discourage you and get you down. And it's a roller coaster of ministry if you always look to numbers, and because there's going to be, you're always going to want more people there, which I do. But at the same time, I try to avoid letting that control, the flow of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Now, mind you, I've been in that church and in the Colville region, it's packed out. So, it's not like he has two people showing up to church. If that were the case, that you would somehow downplay that, but it's been decades of faithfulness and God just adding to the church daily that we're seeing that fruit up in the Colville area. Any final remarks that you'd like to give to a young pastor out there, or even an old pastor who's feeling very discouraged right now? Maybe he's gone through ministry for a long time and he is just not sure what to do. What would be your closing remarks to them, Pastor Tom?
You brought up a couple of things. I think of, isn't it Jeremiah, who I don't think he got one convert.
Yeah.
But God was really pleased and used Jeremiah because of his faithfulness, and he was bold. And he spoke what God told him to speak, even though it cost him. So I think for us as pastors, we have to be looking at a different measurement or gauge to know whether we're doing what God wants us to do versus just looking at just the outcome of everything going on around us. We just have to know that being faithful to him is enough. Amen. And so that at the end of your life, at the end of your ministry, you can say, I was faithful. I kept doing what God told me to do, and that it's his business how he takes the word that you teach and what he does with it. We just do what he tells us to do. But the other thing for a young pastor, because I was thinking about this earlier today as I was preparing in my mind, one of the things, first of all, is just to make sure you know that you're called to be a pastor. Mm. That was kind of hard for me because I didn't go to a Bible college, and I did not receive any formal education other than sermons from church every Sunday, reading a lot of books on my own, listening to tapes, going to conferences. So there was kind of a ground up kind of growth for me, as I was growing and being a pastor. But Pastor Chuck did help me a lot in his writings on just making sure that you are actually called to be a pastor. And then as you grew in the fruit of the ministry, then that would confirm that you had a real genuine call. Mm-hmm. And then you would just grow in that. But we have some young people in our church that are growing in ministry, looking for opportunities. My grandson Gideon, Brian's son, is one of them. Yeah. And I just really would encourage them to really seek the Lord, mm-hmm. get confirmation from the Holy Spirit. And that confirmation comes in, number one, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, the Word of God just opening up in your heart, in your mind, the Holy Spirit giving you revelation of truth, and then the doors opening up for opportunities combined with those revelations,
right,
confirm that it is a calling from God. It's not just something that you're, making up on your own, and it's confirmed by the Holy Spirit. So once you have that confirmation, don't let the devil discourage you.
Because
he will. I think if you're a pastor, you become a target. I was thinking mm-hmm. of that too. And it becomes very hard, because people that you thought loved you and were your friend, all of a sudden they're going to turn against you. I have had a lot of freak people say, no, you can't become a pastor. And it kind of benefited me, because it really made me press into God. Is this really from you, Lord? Or is it just something that I'm making up on my own? And that battle hardens you and it strengthens you. So I would just say, don't be surprised if people that you thought were your friends, all of a sudden they're not your friends, because I think there's other things. There's envy, there's covetousness, there's all kinds of sinful jealousies in their heart that could be influencing them, and it's not valid.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, one of the things I think is important too, just to add one more item to your list, I think those are incredibly important, is the very fact that if you're constantly burnt out and there's never, you're not ever finding joy. Now, I believe we sometimes go into seasons of feeling down and depressed and burnt out, but when there's never a joy in ministry, I want to encourage you to go to that mountaintop and spend some time with the Lord, confirm your calling, confirm mm-hmm. the direction that you are to go, because it's not healthy. But also, sometimes we may have made a wrong turn along the way, and we've gotten mm-hmm. the wrong focus, and God wants mm-hmm. to get us going back the right direction. And so I find joy in ministry. I'm not saying I don't have my down days. I think we all mm-hmm. do. But if that is just a lifetime of down days, you need to evaluate. There needs to be some times where it's not even when things all go right, because that doesn't usually happen in ministry, right? Mm-hmm. Right. You try to do your best, it doesn't go right. But there's still mm-hmm. a confidence and a peace that God provides regardless of those circumstances. Amen. and to move us forward. So I was hoping that you could close this in a word of prayer and pray over the pastors across Washington State, mm-hmm. That they would be bold to speak on cultural issues. I think it's really important. We're not asking pastors to do a political rally within their church. Mm-hmm. We're just asking you to preach the whole counsel of God's word and make the application to modern day things that we're going through. So if you can pray over us and bless mm-hmm. us today, Pastor Tom.
Yeah, I'd love to. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your intimate presence in our lives and your continuous flow of revelation of your word and the knowledge of you and our growth as pastors in our relationship. But I do pray for those that are in the battlefront, the battle lines, Lord. Just encourage them in their heart to know them, to let them know that the more they're faithful to just preach through your word, Lord, the more you're going to bless them and use them, and the more fruit they're going to see from their lives as they surrender in humility and confess and repent and turn to your grace. It's when we start becoming puffed up and thinking we've got it all together that we're setting ourselves up for a fall. Mm-hmm. But the more dependent upon you on a daily basis, the more you'll be able to come through and equip us with the boldness and the courage, good courage, to continue in a faithful walk with you. So Lord, mm-hmm. bless. Protect their minds, protect their churches, mm-hmm. protect their sheep, their flock, their followers, and equip them all for growing up into the ministry, so it doesn't all fall on the pastor's shoulders, but it falls on those that come alongside of them to share in the ministry, that be co-laborers, co-workers, be co-laborers that are faithful followers of Jesus Christ around them, support them, protect their marriages and their families and their children, equip them all for the work of the ministry, because we have eternity to look forward to, and the crown of glory that you will give to those who are faithful in serving you in all vocations as well, not just as a pastor, but other vocations are callings of God too, just as important. So Lord, just bless and equip, bless your church, Lord, today. And we pray for our government in Washington State, that you would bring conviction of the Holy Spirit on our current leaders, Lord, that the fear of God would come upon them, that they would tremble in their shoes regarding their wicked decisions that they have been making, so that they would repent and cry out to God for forgiveness and guidance and direction on the direction they're taking our current government in Washington. So we pray for the salvation of their souls. I think of our governor, Ferguson. I pray for his salvation and repentance, and that he would have the fear of God, even waking him up at night, so that he trembles over the actions that he's been taking to repent and turn himself over to you, Lord, and all those around him as well. So we pray for that, Lord. Mayors, school board members, city councilors, county commissioners, just all of government officials, Lord, to have the fear of God, and that we would see revival in Washington State and in the United States and in the world, actually, because I believe you're coming back soon, and it's time to be ready and to be looking up to you. I believe in the rapture of the church. That's the next big event that's going to happen for the church. So, Lord, we just pray that we'll be ready, being about our Father's business faithfully. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Tom, for being on today. A couple things to walk away with, pastors, if you're thinking about what can I apply today? First off, as you're preparing your sermon today, look at it and say, does this idea come from the scriptures or is it just my own idea? Like, are you preaching God's word or are you preaching your words? Number two is maybe find your teachers that are in your neighborhood or the names of your county commissioner, whoever it might be, and would you take a day and pray for them? And if we can have prayer beginning all across this state where we are lifting up those who are elected and who are representation of the people, because remember, God calls them ministers of God. He says these officials are ministers of God, that we would pray for them to know Jesus, to walk in wisdom, to not take a bribe, and to be able to do their jobs. So we want to pray for that around the state as we go. So we want to give you a blessing. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
God bless everybody.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you in your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.